This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Good afternoon. It's the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. I just made it about nick of time with my guest today, but we'll pick up that in a little bit. Nice day outside. I want to say thanks a couple of weeks ago to Ty with the recycling, and that was a very good enlightening, actually, and he was funny, too, to boot, about recycling and the goods that you have. There's money in your attic, money in your garage. And that was good. And then he's got his video up on our website. What's really good about nowadays, which I like, is the internet. I mean, one of the things that's good about the internet, because there's a lot of stuff that's really not that good, but is that you can get this information, have the information prior to speaking to people. You know, so you're not really getting hoodwinked when you go in to buy something or get educated on a product or whatever. There's a lot of it on the internet, but there's also the reviews and the hysteria of certain products and things like that. And I'll tell you, like even mold, people go on the internet and get scared to death a blob is going to come and eat their house. But that's not the case. But I'm jumping all over the place because, like I said, I just got in here. I was at a conference this morning, which I'm going to talk about in a little while. Some of the things that were in the news lately is the flood insurance. If anybody saw the flood insurance cost about to surge, I don't know, you know, what that truly means, but people who live in floodplains and have to carry flood insurance, it's underwritten. It's written by an insurance company, like they're acting as the TPA, the third-party administrator, but the government is really setting the dollar amounts to that. So, for example, when you do have a flood, and if it's not, say, well, let me back up. If it was the water damage, bear with me here. I'm just getting off the road, and I'm a little jacked up right now. So if you had water damage, the insurance company is going to pay pretty much what you have there dollar for dollar, and you know, you're gonna move forward with your lives. But however, with flood insurance, considering there's flood insurance throughout the communities and dollars are tight, there's a dollar amount that's set to sheetrock replacement, never contents. They don't pay for any contents that gets damaged, so there's a lot of things that you need to take a look at with your policies. So with the new flood program expiring, and it's going to be put into this package of education and transportation that gets buried. It really wasn't talked about that much. One person or two people from our New Jersey area talked about it. Nobody else from the region was talking about it. But they're going to put some drastic limits on the flood insurance, and you might have the opportunity to your premiums going to be going up. So you might want to take a look at that. Talk to your broker, your agent. If you live in a floodplain or you're mandated to carry flood insurance, coastal areas, things like that, it's do some due diligence and check that out. It was in the Bergen Record last week, so if you want to Google that, it's a pretty lengthy article. The usual suspects are in there with Wayne and Pequannock and Fairfield and Boundbrook and things like that over the amount of money that they've received over the storms over the course of the couple of years. And then there's Long Island. You know, you have your Nassau, you know, Rick Gimble, the OEM director out there, who's no longer with the township of Islip. New government came in and he got replaced, and that's the way politics is. But you know, they're prone. They're an island, obviously, Long Island. So they're prone to get the flooding, and a lot of people out there have to carry flood insurance. So it's going to affect premiums. So you might, you should go take a look at it. And you know, your due diligence anyway. Listen, just because your insurance, you had no incidences for a couple of years, and your insurance company says, hey, listen, it's time to renew, and it's going to cost you, you know, the same as it did last year plus inflation, so another $6 or $7, whatever the heck it may be. You shouldn't just cut the check and say, okay, I'm insured, because one of the things I'm going to get to at the end of the program is talking about insurance, and just because you know, you think you have insurance, you have insurance. There's a lot of riders. There's a lot of not hidden things, as much as you need to ask the questions. And listen, your lifestyle has changed. Before you had the insurance, you were a single guy or a single woman. You lived in an apartment, you had renter's insurance. Then you bought a house. You're like, yeah, okay, I have homeowner's policies. That means everything. It doesn't mean everything, okay, including flood. So, it's still amazing, because people, you know, we get jacked up and we get, 10 pounds in a 3-pound bag with family life and going to ball games and homework and trying to be a good student be a good parent with your kid who need to do well in school. And there's all these pressures, especially us living in our area, you know, and you gotta make a living, you know, and it's not cheap to live where we live. So there's all these external things, you know, weighing down on you. The last thing I want to do is drill for something, and go through during a fire, where would your kids meet? Where would you meet them in the yard? So on and so forth. Or what would happen if there was a flood? Again, because you don't, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night, and if it's a sunny day, you don't want to think about it either. You know, you want to take advantage of the nice weather. And again, well, I'm going to reference this towards the end of the program with the disaster preparedness conference that was held at Bergen Community College this morning. It was fantastic. Some great guys are on the panel, and like I said, I'll get to that. We got 8 minutes after the hour. So with that, we get the event. Listen, we talked about that. I'm kind of skirting around here for a bit, so bear with me. Just wanted to mention one thing. It was from a Dave Venuhazi program, which was Fabric Renewal. Something very interesting happened this past week about claims. Listen, it's not romantic to talk about insurance claims, but it really is, because it's in my world. That's all I deal with, and people seem to be caught blindsided when they're not prepared for it. So one of the things that happened with very expensive clothing, and it was just a lesson learned by, it was no, it's not a finger pointing or anything like that, but you just can't, you got to, if you have jackets that are worth X amount of dollars, you really need to take a look at that, call your insurance company, find leathers and shoes and things like that, things that are worth, ordinarily, $1,000 shoes, $1,000 pocketbooks, so on and so forth. You should talk to your insurance company. Think about scheduling that separately. Those items can be very dicey in a time of a flood or a fire, and a dollar figure, more often than not, you can get shortchanged. So take a look at that. I think we'll go to a break, bring our guest in today, and we're going to rock and roll. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
And there it is. There's the finger. Hey, Disaster Recovery Hour, every Tuesday between 1 and 2, WVNJ, 1160 AM. I have a returning guest, a retired detective lieutenant, right? Captain Charlie and Eddie from the Alpine Police Department here in Bergen County. Charlie does have his own business, Intelligence Security Solutions. It is criminal, civil, domestic violence, traffic, and major case management. Those are the bullet points, but also personal security, which is armed, estate management, bodyguard services, armed, event planning, and personal issue management and public relations. Charlie, like I said, has been on before. Charlie, how are you making out?
Hey, Chris, good to be on with you today.
I had lieutenants and sergeants and those guys this morning at that conference, and so I apologize for that. Charlie's been off the job for 6 years, And as Charlie is a guy's guy, so I'm sure the camaraderie ship is missed being on the job.
Yeah, absolutely. I miss the job somewhat, but I miss the people that I worked with, especially when I got together with the guys in the prosecutor's office and DEA agents and did a lot of the undercover stuff. It really rocked people's world back then.
Yeah. You know, we talked last time because we live in the times, and this is a disaster. Like, you know, obviously most of the topics here are disaster related. We're living in some bad times right now, economically wise, and people are what happens in with times like that is crime goes up, especially with the robberies. You had worked on numerous task force, and I was grateful that Bill is a good friend of yours and like your another advisor to the program, which so many other people really take passion in what they do for a living. Now you're transforming your trade into the private sector, and being the public sector now in the private sector. The last time we were talked about with the rash of burglaries here in Bergen County, and I got some information on the Long Island side. And then it kind of had a bit of a, it seemed to go out of the news for a little bit, but not for long. And because a lot of burglaries and you know, if, you know, cleaning up fingerprint dust and things, it becomes insurance related, which is my end of the business. So we tapped on that a little bit, not too much. We talked about some of the cases in the back day, as long as we didn't talk about names. But now it's back and reared its ugly head, but it's worse. It seems like this round is worse than it was before, correct?
Correct. The last time I was on, Chris, I think we hit in one of the segments that the crime of burglary is actually produced by the economy, and as the economy goes down, the number of burglaries increase. There are people out there trying to provide for their families and turn to crime to do that. Unfortunately, I was speaking with a representative of the state police yesterday, and the crime numbers have come out in northern New Jersey. Burglary and robbery are up 4% in the first half of this year. I'm not surprised by the burglary increases because the crime of opportunity and it can be profitable for a burglar that knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But when the crime of robbery starts increasing, that usually involves weapons, and now you're talking about personal injury, life-threatening situations, and that's when the people on the street really have to understand to protect themselves, their valuables, and they really need to know what to do in certain situations to save their own life.
You being in private business now, obviously you have that expertise to teach people. Is it in the old days? It was, I shouldn't say the old days, but it was more drug related. So trying to maintain, sustain those habits. Now it's purely on, not purely, but the economic. I mean, we had those nut jobs in Long Island with the OxyContin and the prescription drugs, but now more in the forefront of, you know, people have more electronics, which are more valuable and easy to again rob instead of just burglarizing. Now they're just robbing you off the street.
Absolutely. Years ago, most of the people that we arrested for the crime of burglary or criminal trespass, we always found at the end of the day that it was addiction driven. They didn't have the money to pay for their drugs. They couldn't buy their drugs. They would turn to breaking into cars, breaking into houses, grabbing things that they knew they could easily sell on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, it was cameras, small televisions, recording devices. Today, it's still the cameras. They're smaller. They're easier to get in their pockets. But mostly telephones and small electronic things, the iPads, stuff like that, that they can grab off of you easily, go across the bridge or into Patterson and dump them on the street to people. And if not, the pawn shops, unfortunately, are not doing their due diligence and getting proper identification when they're buying these things from these street criminals.
I mean, their inventory's got to skyrocket, then removing them from there. And I'm not going to play Matlock here, but obviously you can with your years on the job. How is that now that you got to regurgitate that back into the society, and it's the undesirables who are buying, or is it people that listen have regular jobs and they know they can get something cheaper at a pawn store?
Well, the unfortunate thing is you will find that there's a lot of these people in these phone stores that will buy these things for $15-$20, knowing that they have the technology or the connections to reprogram them and get them back out on the street at a $200 or $250 profit to them. So, unfortunately, like I said, it's economy driven now, where everybody's looking to make that extra dollar.
In our county, or Nassau, Rockland, Passaic, are there outreach programs along those? I shouldn't say outreach; that's really the wrong word. But the teaching of the awareness, like fire prevention, that's an awareness. You know, come down to the firehouse, do this. I guess we can. You know, the question I'm kind of answering in my own head as I'm asking you is, how do you educate society, the mass populace, about it?
Well, the unfortunate thing is there are not people that are out there giving information to the public. When I was working in the borough of Alpine and we were being hit by burglars, we would actually have a town meeting, or town hall, if you will, type of meeting, and invite all the residents to hear exactly what was going on, the time of day it was taking place, the areas of the house that were being attacked, how to protect themselves, their lighting, their burglary warning systems, alarm systems. The unfortunate thing, which you were kind of getting to before, is it goes silent. And the reason why it goes silent, the reason why it went silent in Alpine, real estate companies do not want it publicized that you're having a crime problem, especially in an affluent area where they stand to make millions of dollars in selling your house. So whenever we came up with one of these town hall meetings, we had to butt heads with the real estate people, you know, in the area. And unfortunately, in some situations, the politicians would bow to the real estate people because the real estate people are bringing them votes. Like I said, unfortunately, the people that live in the town, live in the areas that are being affected by burglars or crime, then do not get the information on how to protect themselves. So there should be, most police departments have, community relations officers.
Right, right.
And the people in the towns that are being affected by these burglaries should be contacting their politicians, their mayors, their council, and even the police department, and say, we need a community relations officer to set up meetings or seminars and tell us what's going on and what areas of the town are being affected and how do we protect ourselves.
Yeah. Now, do you, with the Mr. Zimmerman down there in FLA, you know, that stand your ground law is kind of crazy, but that's just my opinion. You know, you don't want to go down that path because obviously you guys on the job don't want people carrying weapons. But the eyes and ears are a great tool for you guys.
Exactly. And you know, like New York City has the saying, New Jersey adopted it. If you see it, report it.
Yeah.
Some of the unfortunate situations that arise is sometimes these burglars will be daytime burglars. And you may be at home or you may walk in on something that's taking place. And a lot of people, the first thing in their mind is they're going to attack the criminal. In today's day and age, most criminals are armed with something, or there is something in your house that they will arm themselves with. My advice to all of your listeners, should they feel there's somebody is in their house, is to make a lot of noise when coming in or when you're in the area that they may be. Make a lot of noise and clear the exit ways. Make sure they have a free way of getting out of the house. They will not hurt you. They may hurt you running you over trying to get out of the house, but they will not hurt you because then the crime of burglary turns to robbery.
Right.
And they don't want to do the time.
Right, right. Now, is there a percentages usually along those lines? As in... the person going to be violent, or is the person just, you know, I just want your stuff, I want to get out of here?
I would say in 75% of the cases where you confront a burglar in the act of committing a crime, he's going to want to get out of there and not hurt you. Like I said, the only injuries you may sustain is him trying to get out and you blocking his exit. So, you know, like when you were saying before about fires and catastrophes at your house, that the family should have a plan, what to do, where to meet. You should have the same plan in effect for in the event that a crime is taking place in your house. Closets, out of the house, in the garage, places where there are not valuables or electronics, where this person, what this person is trying to obtain from you, get away from those areas and protect yourself and your family.
Is there now the ordinary, if you will, let's use the blue-collar neighborhood, for example, which is no longer true because, you know, white-collar and middle-class, let's go middle-class neighborhoods, but now their targets also can, because of the quick fix with the electronics?
Exactly. About 2 weeks ago, I got together with a lot of the guys that I worked with in the Northeast Bergen County Detectives Group, and we were talking about burglaries and where they're taking place, and in speaking with representatives from the city of Englewood, they were telling me that they were getting inundated with a large amount of burglaries, and I kind of alluded to their affluent East Hill area, and I was told that it is now from one side of Englewood to the other. It doesn't matter what the neighborhood is, whether it's blue collar, black collar, white collar.
Mm-hmm.
These people are just hitting houses to obtain your anything that they can. And when you catch these people, you'll find out they're, at this point, with the economic situation as it is, they're trying to just get money to provide for their families. You know, the unemployment rates are up. There are no jobs out there. And they still have bills to pay and families to support. In most cases, you will find, you know, these guys that are committing these burglaries are not really seasoned or professional, as you will, burglars.
Mm-hmm. And they're not the career, you know, the burglars. You know, the comments page is lit up a little bit. Leanne has said, we haven't talked about the painkillers. Well, we talked a little bit about it, but She's talking about should doctors be accountable for all the pain mills. Obviously, Leanne lives in Florida. There are major raids in Florida where they are shutting down huge pain mills and stores selling spice, artificial marijuana, great deal of publicity in the papers. What do you think about that? On I know there's what they call them tourists, pill tourists or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Coming up here and selling them for big dollars.
Exactly. Well, the first thing, I agree totally with Leanne that doctors should absolutely be held accountable for what they do with their prescription pads. Working in affluent areas, a lot of the situations, domestic violence situations, were brought about by prescription pill abuse. The unfortunate situation that exists today is there are these doctors that you can call as a patient. You call your doctor and said, hey, listen, I need 30 or 40 more Percocet. And he faxes a prescription to your pharmacy, and it's filled. And it's totally absurd. A doctor writing prescriptions or faxing prescriptions without visibly or physically examining you, I believe should have his license revoked.
Mm. Another question from Dave. Actually, it's for me. It says, Chris, for insurance purposes, what does a homeowner need to make sure their valuables, i.e. jewelry, electronics, etc., are covered in the event of a burglary? Well, there's your standard TVs and phones and computers and things like that. They have a general idea. The insurance companies have guys bean counters in dark places that you don't want to dream at night, but that know what the prices are on certain items. But jewelry is one thing. I mean, when you buy a piece of jewelry, your jewelers will easily give you an appraisal on that. Obviously, they're going to do a fee for it, but I'd rather have that, and you can forward that and document it with your carrier or your broker or whatever. Also, photo documentation of those items also. Like I told over numerous times over this program, the insurance company wants you to be prepared to settle the claim that much quicker. It's less man hours, less payroll, and so on and so forth. And, their money's going back into play. Remember, every time there's a loss, they have to set a reserve set aside for estimated value of a total loss. So that's taking money out of their pockets, putting in an escrow. And, again, there's insurance companies or have investment partners, keep the almighty dollar moving, and I agree with it completely. It's the protocol. So you might want to document it in paper and also photo doc it. And little CDs now were perfect. You put them and put them inside a box at the bank. It's valuable information. Intel's the probably most costly valuable thing on the market out there. At least I always thought so. The person with the most information and open mindedness and intelligence is going to move forward, I think. Go to a break. Stay with the retired captain, Charlie Unetti, and be right back.
Disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Sally Field for Wounded Warrior Project.
There are so many things that we take for granted in our lives, but one thing that we should never take for granted are the brave men and women of our volunteered armed forces who daily risk their lives for our freedom. Some of these brave warriors have suffered catastrophic injuries. Some will suffer the effects of traumatic brain injury for the rest of their lives. The Wounded Warrior Project was created to help and support these injured heroes. Regardless of your position on the war, they deserve our help. Please consider the many ways that you can get involved. The Wounded Warrior Project's motto is, "The greatest casualty is being forgotten." Let's continue to help make this generation the most well-received group of injured veterans in our nation's history. We owe it to them. To learn more, call 877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to Ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Hey, third quarter football. Giants won the Super Bowl, by the way. I always like to slip that in every once in a while. The more questions on the comments page. Some of them are going to be fired up right now. Leanne, again, is in Florida. We are seeing an uprise in violent crime, shooting of, you know, I don't want anybody tuning in and say, what kind of program is this about killings and shootings? Listen, that's not the focus as much as of the disaster and the after effect of that and the prevention and the mitigation, as we say in the insurance world. So anyway, back to Leanne's question. Is that in Florida, we are seeing an uprise of violent crimes, shootings that come out of rage with anger as a basis and no rhyme or no reason. I think the economy effects of nature of crimes we are seeing. Charlie's already echoed that, but Charlie, anything to expand about the effects of the economy and the nature of the crimes? Do you find it more violent? Do you find it?
I absolutely find that watching the news programs from different parts of the country, that violent crimes are definitely on the rise. The unfortunate situation. I was in law enforcement for over 30 years and carried firearms and was involved with firearms most of my adult life. In this date and time, firearms are being made much too easy to get throughout different states, Florida being one of them, where you need to have a driver's license, request to buy the gun, go back in 48 hours, and you own a gun.
What's the BG on that? Did they run anything on you? A license?
They just run your license for a criminal background check, and if you haven't been charged criminally under that name, a lot of guys have different IDs, you get your gun. The unfortunate thing is a lot of guys tend to want to carry the gun. It's like beer muscles. I got a gun in my waistband, and, I'm a bad character.
Mm-hmm.
Guns were never intended for that purpose. But people are using them to carry out things in their mind, and it's definitely way too easy to get them today.
And we're one of the strictest in the country, aren't we?
Yes, we are. While I was with the Borough of Alpine, I handled all firearms applications, and what we put you through in the state of New Jersey would probably discourage you from wanting to buy a handgun.
Hmm.
Rifles are easier. You still have to have a firearm purchaser's ID card to buy a rifle, but handguns are getting very hard to go through the licensing and the purchase permit application process. It could take up to 2 to 3 months easily by the time we do your fingerprint checks, your background checks, all of your reference checks. We do contact all of your references, so when you put a reference on an application, you better hope that guy has nothing bad to say about you, because you'll be waiting a long time for your firearm.
Oh, here's a question from Bobby, and this is what a lot of on people's minds. It says, with crime on the rise, doesn't it make sense to see more than ever to have a handgun and to have a gun in the house?
Well, Bobby, it depends on your personal situation and your family situation. If you do have a handgun in the house and you have children, are you going to leave that handgun loaded in the house? I would certainly hope not. On the other side of that coin is you have a handgun in the house. You don't have it loaded because you have children in the house. Somebody breaks into your house. Are you proficient enough with that handgun to get it out of wherever it's hiding in a time of panic and load it and then properly operate it to protect you and your family? I'm going to sit here right now and look at your name on the screen and say, I think not. Another scenario having to do with handguns in the house, you're not home. Burglar breaks into your house, finds your handgun, steals your handgun. Now your handgun's using a homicide in some other jurisdiction, and the police are banging on your door going, we got your gun. You're now our top suspect in a homicide.
Mm.
Although, like I said, I'm a fan of handguns properly used by properly trained people, but I do not suggest to anyone to have a handgun in the house.
Mm. Keep on moving with questions from Randy. My friend was robbed and they destroyed his home looking for the stuff, turned it inside out and broke a pipe in the mudroom. Is there specific insurance coverage you need for this? Well, that would be vandalism. Now, robbery, I don't think you need to go. Now, this is from my novice. I don't know how many jobs I've done after the fact. I don't know, maybe 50, 60 of those types of jobs, especially with the fingerprint print, dust, and real pain in the butt to clean up. But generally, it would come under vandalism. The robbery would come under stuff being stolen, and there's caps on types of different policies. So, again, it kind of goes back to that valuables, and do you have those things registered? Or is it a standard, you know, Seiko watch that's worth $250? Or is it a Rolex? You know, I always find it kind of amusing when there's a robbery and then you read it in the paper and the guy had $16,000 stolen. I how does that number come about like that, Charlie? How many times have you seen that one? In your neck of the woods, that could have been true. But overall,
well, you know, when I worked, if there was a burglary of $16,000, we just tell the guy, "We'll take it out of your pocket change." But touching on what Randy. The question that he put up, and just from looking at a two-line question, I'm going to submit to you, Randy, that your friend was robbed and his home was destroyed, a pipe was broken. That's not your run-of-the-mill burglary. That's personal.
Yeah, right.
He needs to be looking at somebody that was looking for something specifically in his house or something to do with his personal life that he might have been getting a little bit of payback for.
Charlie, let's talk a little bit about your the business that you own and some of the things that you specialize, some of the things obviously to take on a job, you're going to interview that individual and see what kind of services they need from you. Give us some of the clientele.
Well, at Intelligent Security Solutions is actually a consulting firm, and I consult with various clients depending on what the situation that they are in at the time, whether it be a criminal situation, civil situation, which could cover anything from a civil suit to divorce, domestic violence situations, and also traffic situations, traffic tickets, traffic accidents, anything of that nature. And basically what I will do is come in and sit down with you and absolutely try and calm your situation and put you in a right frame of mind to take to the next step forward in protecting yourself and your family about what may be coming down the road as far as criminal defense, civil suits, things of that nature. We also provide personal security service. We're available for a security check at your house. You would give me a telephone call at 201-906-9085 and basically say one question. Hey, Charlie, listen, I have this house in this area. There are burglaries in the area. Could you take a look at my house and give me some security tips on how to protect my home against burglars? It take up to an hour to do. I make suggestions that are very affordable and put you and your family at ease that you're doing all you can to protect your house and your family.
And now there's a difference between civil and criminal, and I don't think the general public understands the difference.
Well, in most situations, like I said, I was in law enforcement all my life. And what's happening now is people are being charged with different criminal offenses. I have a battery of criminal defense attorneys that I would recommend to you. I would also go through your case file and make sure that none of your civil rights were violated during the investigation, and also make sure that the police department or detective bureau handling your investigation handled evidence and gathering evidence properly.
You know, with the what's your thought? I mean, my kids are young, and you know, in the old days, there was always a bully, you know, and I don't advocate it to still to be that way. When does that line get blurry from years of being on the job?
The bullying situation happens to be one that really, really sticks in my craw. I've discussed this with numerous people, and in every situation, I always come up with the bottom line that it's allowed at home. Bullying starts in the home.
Mm.
The parents are not paying enough attention to their children when they're out of the house, who they're hanging with, what they're doing, what peer pressures they're applying at school, how many people are using to apply the peer pressure. And I think what needs to be done is people that have children who are victims of bullying, and it's not even children, there are adults that are victims of bullying,
mm-hmm.
they need to go into the police department, and again, the community relations officer is the person you're going to talk to, or want someone in the detective bureau, and say, this is what's going on in my life, and this is what I need to get fixed. And if the investigator is worth his salt and he's up on his game, he's going right to the house. He's going to confront mom and dad, and he's going to say, listen, we're watching this situation, and you are going to start curbing it within your house and within your upbringing of your children.
And well, that's a spin I have not heard.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say spin. That's the wrong word. I apologize for that.
You haven't had me here enough.
I know. But, you know, they're talking about the laws and clamping down. Obviously, I'm all a proponent for, you know, the safety of children. And I have them. But never saying, you know, you're saying, you know what, somewhere at home is happening.
Right.
With most, I guess, out of all those years being on the job, probably 95% of everything just derived out of the home. I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer was just, his parents seemed pretty normal, so I just think he was just a bad apple. Somebody, you know, he just must have fallen on the floor at the beginning when he got popped out. But I got a question from Gary, which is really for me, about 2 weeks ago with the show, that which is kind of, it's just a statement. He said, saw an article in paper, there is an uprise in theft. People are stealing ladders for scrap metal, which I addressed last week with Ty, or 2 weeks ago with Ty. That's an interesting scrap metal, you know, because a ladder is pretty incidental, and say, hey, you don't use it, I'm moving to an apartment. I appreciate that, Gary. That's a heads up on that. Larry is a question for you, Charlie. He says, Charlie, do you think cameras are cost effective for the home security? Before that, should we go to a break? Dave's telling me go to a break. We'll answer that and wrap it up, and still rock and roll. Stay with us.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Katie Valentine's new UFO show. Watching strange visitors that come and go. The UFO show with Katie Valentine. We're gonna travel through space and rock it through time. Exploring what is possible, examining what is logical.
Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO show with Kate Valentine. Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
You, my friend, have connections in the government. Yes, you. USA.gov, the official source for government information on thousands of topics. And like any good connection, there's no telling where it can take you. Why, one day you're getting student loan information. Next thing you know, you need job hunting tips. Today's rogue construction info could have you searching for telecommuting ideas tomorrow. The more you use USA.gov, the more uses you'll find for it. Passport applications, for example. They've been known to lead to a sudden interest in travel advisories. Our new mobile apps will even update you on the go. So whether you have information to get or ideas to give your government, check out USA.gov. Who knows? Lottery results today could lead to retirement planning tomorrow. USA.gov. With the right connections, there's no telling where you can go.
There it is. It's fourth quarter. Retired captain from the Alpine Police Department, Charlie Yannetti. Advisor to the program, good friend, got some good stories. You know some people I know, so it's always a nice common theme. We'll roll right back into the comments page. Laura's question to us is, how do you feel about the latest news? We are ready about releasing criminals sooner than they were sentenced to be because of the overcrowding in prisons. That's part one. And how do you know who has really been rehabilitated and ready for society? Oof, that's the you play dice?
Well. That's a really good
thank you, Laura.
Question, Laura. You know, being from law enforcement for over 30 years, I have to tell you that it's my personal opinion, and my personal opinion only, but shared by many. There's no such thing as rehabilitation. I don't care who you are, what you've done, what the crime is. You will never be rehabilitated from that crime. The unfortunate situation is when we do arrest the individual, sentence him to a facility, I want you to note this word, institution. We are sending them to a prison institution. And institution is associated with college, education. Because what we're doing is we're sending these guys, as raw as they may be, as basic as their crime may be, into an institution where they are going to learn more about the crimes that they commit. And they're also going to share information with their friends in jail, how they got caught, and how to avoid being caught in the same situation again. They're going to come out because they made money doing what they were doing until they got caught, and they're going to do it again. Simple as that. As far as releasing criminals sooner because of overcrowding, it just shows the politicians and society our prisons aren't big enough, and we're not treating these crimes harshly enough. Like I said again, that's just my opinion. When you have a death penalty, serve the death penalty. Thank you.
All right, then we're going to keep on rock and rolling. Charlie, back to business and back to the insurance end of it. How is your interaction with that? Because some of these things are insurance related.
Well, most of the times when I do sit down with my client to see exactly what's going on with their personal situation, I always have to make sure that they are properly insured, whether it's for liability, homeowners, personal possessions, proper coverage on automobiles. The whole thing in the civil part of my business is if you get involved in a civil suit, you want to make sure that you are covered properly to protect yourself against any fines or punitive damages which may be levied against you.
Civil suit, neighbor against neighbor?
Neighbor against neighbor, personal injury, slip and falls on your property, anything along those lines. You really have to make sure that you're properly insured. A lot of people, especially new homeowners, they're spending a lot of money on closing costs, the house, the down payment, everything that goes along with buying a new house or real estate, and they tend to cheap out on insurance coverage.
I see it all the time.
And they get caught up with something happens, their tree falls on a neighbor's car. Uh-oh, I'm not properly insured. I guess I have to work two jobs to buy my neighbor a new car.
Right.
You know, so you really have to have a really good insurance agent that's going to really cover you for what you need to be covered for. You may think a lot of things are unnecessary at that particular time, but looking down the road, especially with the natural disasters that are taking place with the weather situations today,
right.
You really have to be ready for that.
I've spoken to people who have wanted to move out and get a different type of insurance. I told them to video camera their residence. And, you know, the picture's a thousand words, right? I mean, they've been saying that before video. Somebody told me that. Somebody told me that little phrase.
The last estate that I worked on, we actually had an insurance company come in. It was a rather large estate worth in excess of $50 million.
Oh, that's my place.
Yes. And they actually came in with a crew. And they went through the house and they videoed everything. Light switches, power panels, water connections, personal possessions, everything. They documented everything by video, and it's a really good thing to consider.
Yeah. Video and photographs of your valuables. Listen, your agent or your broker will probably welcome that because he or she doesn't have to make the trip out there and ask all those questions. He or she can look at this video and say, oh, look at this, what's happening. You know, a tree line is a perfect example, you know, because people, you know, good neighbors decide, but they have a tree fall on their shed and it's their neighbor's like, hey Bob, I told you years ago to get rid of it, don't you remember that night at the barbecue, you know? And then before you know it, Bob and Dave aren't speaking anymore.
They're good neighbors until something happens.
Yeah.
Mr. Nice Guy decided to hide in the closet somewhere.
You know what? We're in our region, from here to most of Jersey and parts of PA and all the way to the island and Rockland, everybody knows everybody else's job. Everybody knows how to do everybody else's job. Right. So it's really, and unfortunately, it takes an incident for you to say, you know, maybe sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they wake up from an incident and they say, you know what, I should have done something about it. Maybe I can move forward, make it positive. I always think out of the jobs that I go to, where's the silver lining? Because I have empathy for people going through these things. I think that's what separates myself from the other companies. I mean, it is a job. I do have bills to pay, and I I'm in business to do business, but. You know, to give a little bit, some sympathy to go with it, I think it's a little less hurtful. And what lessons can be learned? Where's the silver lining?
The unfortunate situation with the society we live in today in this country is we are reactionary instead of proactive. We react to things after they happen instead of being prepared for them before they take place. And that's what my company does, is try and keep you aware of what's going on and how to protect yourself. Like I saw a comment from Larry come up earlier about cameras.
Oh, did we talk about that? I'm sorry. Larry, did I not mention that? I apologize. Sorry, I didn't.
And it's absolutely a good idea. A couple of the burglars that were recently caught, believe it or not, were caught as a result of somebody going out and buying an inexpensive nanny cam and putting the nanny cam in their bedroom, and this guy's face was plastered all over the video. Picked him up the next day. So, yes, they are cost-effective today for home security. There are cheap ways of doing it, and there are good ways of doing it. If you have a home security system already, talk to your agent. He will guide you in hooking cameras into your security system, or as I just said, there are the self-contained. They're activated by movement. They go on and off in 30-second increments, and they work very well in the home.
Yeah, nobody likes a camera along those lines, especially the bad guys. Charlie, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. I've missed you a couple of times, and my apologies. Charlie, a retired captain from the Alpine Police Department here in Bergen County, knows guys that throughout the industry, and law enforcement and task force, owner of Integrated Security, Intelligent Security Solutions. Charlie, your website, and we got
the website is not up and working yet, but the contact number is Intelligent Security Solutions at 201-906-9085.
And email?
Email is zipper, ZIPPER, 1913 at AOL.com. Give me a call, drop me a line, help you with whatever you need.
Charlie's intel's up on our website also. Charlie, hopefully I don't miss you as long as I did last time. I apologize for that.
Yeah, it was like, you know, being called to the on-deck batter's box and never making it to the plate, you know?
Just a bit outside.
Put me in, Coach. I'm ready to play.
I know. We're just going to wrap. Just one thing about from this morning's disaster preparedness conference, which was held at Bergen Community College. A lot of great speakers. We had OEM guys from the Bergen County Prosecutor's Office, Chief Roush from the Bergen County Safety Academy. He was there. John O'Meara from United Water, PSNG, Dave Hollenbach. Then the second session, we had Bruce Dolan from Dolan Insurance. They really covered a lot of ground, and there was a lot of participation. The Q&A was very good. Some things I picked up on, my good buddy Danny O'Brien from Academy Electric, he was one of the sponsors, with numerous other sponsors, some heavy hitters in our area. And it was informative. These things are, you know, you have to pay to go to them, but, a lot of these guys do volunteer service, and you know they have regular jobs, whether it's being on the job or managing a store or whatever. And they come home and they're the representative because they're volunteer firemen. They're the representative for the X amount of months or a year as an OEM coordinator. These guys are spending 3 and 4 hours a night up at the academy or at meetings and doing drillings once a month. So when you see these guys, they're not just running around on nice shiny trucks or anything like that. These guys are doing the due diligence to help their fellow Americans. So take a peek at that. I'm going to put this information up on our website so people you can drag and click, because FEMA's involved and Bergen County's heavily entrenched in it. Just like the guys I did with Sussex and Nassau County and the New York City OEM guys and the fire chief, the battalion chief. Guys, it's in their blood, and they're out there to help out the citizens and along with the insurance industry. You know, most of the guys in the insurance industry have a passion for it, and they want to see some people survive, life and safety. Things are things, you can replace them. So enjoy the rest of the week. Obviously, if you need to talk to somebody, you want to talk to vets, thank a vet. Let's end the wars and bring home our troops. Take care. We'll see you soon.